Okay, let's get into some practical things. Okay, so the last thing we're learning is about, sterilizing the needle. Okay, and we also said like this, that there's electricity could be fire, which is rare today, by the way, because today they don't even have sparks in electricity. It could be bona, it could be constructing a current. It could be makah bepatish. Makah bepatish meaning one of the blochas of Shabbos is you put the finishing touches. You put the finishing touches on an object, making it usable. So therefore, let's say you have a piece of the plastic or whatever, and now you make it more valuable by making a current go through it. So that's also the concept of which is forbidden on Shabbos. So some there are opinions, by the way, that say, again, everybody says you cannot use electricity on Shabbos. It's a given. The only argument is some people say it's biblically forbidden today. Some people say it's only rabbinically forbidden. Now, if you actually create fire, then everybody would say it's biblical. Okay? If not, then you have a whole issue. Okay. So now let's discuss certain practical applications, let's say. Now, there's something called a refrigerator. There's a very big problem today, generally speaking, that a lot of the new modern appliances are much more complicated than they used to be. Take, for instance, a car. Okay, cars used to be very simple. There was the carburetor, whatever. So you fix the car, Today there's computers and there's this and there's that, and the car talks to you, it doesn't talk to you. Listen, drive by yourself. For Shabbos, it's much more complicated. Friends, I'll give you a simple example. Years ago, let's take the refrigerator. Years ago, those of you that remember the simple old refrigerators, you open the door, you close the door. Yeah, the light used to go on, so you can unscrew the bulb, you can tape it, put a magnet on it. Okay. But then basically, what was the issue? The halachic issue with refrigerators years ago, was that when you open the door, let's say the refrigerator is at 30 degrees. What is it? 34 degrees.
38.
Thank you. 38 degrees. So let's say you open the refrigerator. Inside the refrigerator is 38 degrees. You open the door. The room is, let's say, 70 degrees, 75 degrees. So you're basically letting hot air into the refrigerator, which will cause, because now the temperature is higher, so that's going to cause the motor to start going on earlier. That's what's going to happen. You let in hot air, so then the temperature is going to go up, so then the motor is going to start working to make sure it gets back to 38 degrees. Right? It's very simple. So, years ago, when the refrigerator is still very simple, there were opinions that said, you know, you should not open a refrigerator if the motor's not running. Because then, indirectly, you're causing that the refrigerator motor is going to start quicker. So therefore, many opinions said then that you should open it when the motor is running. But even then, that's not so simple either. Because even if the motor is running, when you open the door, again, you're letting hot air in, so the motor is going to work longer. But that's not as bad as turning it on earlier. Anyway, so there was a whole issue years ago when we were growing up, opening refrigerators when the motor's on, the motor's off. And today, most people are lenient about it because they say it's indirect, whatever the concepts are. As refrigerators got more complicated, and they keep getting more complicated, they're full of sensors. And not only that, if it's a frost-free fridge, so then there's either fans that go on to make sure the air circulates, that it shouldn't, even the refrigerator, by the way, not only the freezer, that there's a fan that goes on to make sure that it doesn't freeze over. That's why they're frost-free. How do they stay frost-free?
It sucks out the air.
Well, either sucks out the air,
or it goes out with it.
Or now, I just heard today, by the way, that in the more modern refrigerators, there's actually a heating element in the compressor of the refrigerator that when the motor goes on, it actually gets the heating element to, so to speak, dry up, and that there shouldn't be any freezing in the refrigerator. That's what I was told. I'm just telling from somebody that knows what he's talking about. So now, then, number one, a lot of refrigerators talk to you today. You open the door, they say, door open, door closed. It registers a digital degree when you open the door. Okay? There are sensors. There's a lot of issues. So what a lot of people that are very machmir, what they'll do, they'll open the refrigerator with a little bit of a shinui, with a little change. Instead of just opening regular with their hand, they're opening with their elbow a little bit, or, you know, whatever, just a different way. It takes something to open it with. Just not the normal way of opening, which obviously causes much less halachic issues. But people have to understand, though, if you open the refrigerator door and the light goes on, even the old-fashioned ones, the light goes on, so then for sure you can't open the refrigerator door, even though you don't want that the light should go on. But like we learned, it's a psikreish, it's inevitable, it's for sure going to go on. So therefore you can't open a refrigerator if the light is on. Okay? Now a lot of the new refrigerators with the Shabbos mode, it, you press the button, then all the lights are off, and officially the fans are off, whatever, it works in a different way that poses much, much, much less of a problem. But I'm saying, but nevertheless, by the way, what happens if somebody forgot to turn off the bulb in the refrigerator before Shabbos and they realize that they can't open the door because the light's going to go on, and that's for sure forbidden. So like we learned already in the past, Sikresha is permissible by a goy. That means, if you call in a guy and say, can you tell him directly, open the refrigerator door. So what he's doing is permissible. Opening a refrigerator door is allowed. Inevitably, the bulb is going to go on. That's not a problem by a guy. That's a clear din in Shulchan Aruch. That the psikresha is mutter by a guy. In fact, Alter Rebbe says a very interesting scenario. The source of this din in Shulchan Aruch is over there. It speaks about how do they heat up pots. Yeah, let's see, this is the pot, and they would put coals all the way around it. Line up, stack up coals all the way around it. Now, when you picked up the pot, all the coals fell down. Right? They were surrounding the pot, and then you pick up the pot, so the coals cave in. Right? That's what happens. So it says in Shulchan Aruch that on Shabbos, the Alter Rebbe says, everybody says, you can't pick up the pot because the coals are going to fall one on top of each other, and inevitably they're going to extinguish one another. So at least some of them are going to become extinguished. So therefore a Jew can't pick up the pot that's surrounded by coals because inevitably the coals are going to extinguish. But it says in Halacha that you can ask a guy to pick up the pot. Why? Because what you're asking the guy is to do something permissible. You're telling him, pick up the pot. That's allowed. You can pick up a pot on Shabbos. The only problem is, inevitably, the coals are going to fall down. That's called psikresha. Psikresha is allowed by a guy. So therefore, if somebody's stuck, let's say, they forgot to close the light in the refrigerator. Not close the light. Turn off the light in the refrigerator. So then, halachically, you're allowed to call in a guy. What? In Shabbos mode, you probably could open it regularly. What? Yeah.
If there's no way, you can't take food from there because then it's mabashim in the stomach. By staring it, it's gonna. You can't take food. And when your food is fake food from the pot.
You said four different dinim that don't. Okay. One second. If this pot, it would be better in that case. What happens? There's no guy around. I have a pot of food, my cholent, and there's all around there's coals. And how can I take out shalit? So halachically, it would be better to take a spoon, not to stir it on the fire, to take out a spoonful of cholent and put in your plate and eat it. That would be much, much better than picking up the pot and causing the coals to fall off. Why? No. Why is this allowed, even though the Alter Rebbe says it's better to be machmir, not to take out food from a pot while it's still on the fire? But a lot of opinions say you are allowed to take up because it's completely cooked already. And all you're doing, you're not even stirring it. You're just taking out food and putting it into your plate. Which the Alter Rebbe says it's better to be machmir. But halachically, according to many opinions, it's not a problem. But picking up the pot, that would be causing a bunch of problems. What?
Where do we draw the line between direct and indirect? For example, there's a tankless pump.
That's direct.
That's direct. But the regular pump, a heater with a big tank.
A boiler. Yeah, but you still can't turn on the hot water because cold water is going to go into the boiler and cook.
But on Shabbos, Yom Tov
you could, but on my Shabbos.
Tankless you can't use,
not on Shabbos, not on Yom Tov.
Okay, but the...
But let me explain to you why. Because when I turn on a faucet... Yeah? What happens is more water goes into the hot water. Okay, cold water is not a problem. It's wherever it comes from, it comes. But when I turn on the hot water, so I'm taking out, let's say, a gallon of hot water. Now that's replaced immediately with a gallon of water going into the boiler. Whatever I take out is going to go into the boiler.
And it causes the water.
Instantaneously.
Okay.
Your one action, not a double action, your one action is causing water to go from wherever the cold water source is into the boiler to cook. That's why Yom Tov, where you're allowed to cook, it's not a problem. You can use hot water. Okay? Now, that's when you have a tank. The tankless is instant hot water. You have a thing by the sink, you press the button, and it's not that it's taking hot water from a boiler. It immediately cooks it up. It's super fast cooking. Right away. So that, you starting electricity, even on Yom Tov is forbidden.
With the boiler...
Even on Yom Tov is forbidden.
The boiler, depending on the temperature of the water, the thing could be on already.
And tankless or tank?
Tank. When
you have but you're still causing more water to go into the boiler.
That's correct.
So, but Yom Tov, you could do that. Right. But tankless, where you're instantaneously cooking up the water, you're pushing down the button, it's cooking water.
Right.
So you can't do that on Yom Tov either. Why? Not because you can't cook, because you can't use electricity on Yom Tov.
Right.
Is any sort of natural?
What?
You can't use electricity if it's sort of natural either for
cooking. No. No. You can't use electricity on Yom Tov, period. Even if you need it for cooking or for whatever. No. Yeah, but Ochel Nefesh, you can't start a new fire even for Ochel Nefesh. But electricity is starting new currents.
All the tankless ones are with electricity?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes, and fire.
Yeah, but I'm saying even if it's a gas, but it's still, there's no fire there. You create electricity. That's how you instant cooking it.
There's fire. Yeah. The gas creates the fire, and the fire burns the water.
Yeah, but then you're creating a new fire. Then Yom Tov, you couldn't do it. Shabbos, but at a boiler, you could use hot water on Shabbos.
Yes.
Not for everything, but to wash your hands and wash dishes and so on. Okay, machin zmei zmei mege bebe mein kim shula da alteda. Und dann mekashe mir das gewoche sagt so wie rebel hamter mit schnamadi.